the very obvious truth that forever is enough time to get to know everyone. Everyone who is saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ. All who will populate the new heaven and new earth. All those redeemed by the blood of Christ. And all the, to use Paul's word in our passage today, all the elect.
To get to know everyone.
And knowing everyone includes knowing Paul and Timothy. And someday when I will visit with them, I will want to hear more about their final days of their earthly friendship. How did Paul feel as he wrote this final letter to Timothy? And how did Timothy feel as he read it? You and I, if we have the choice, want our final interactions with loved ones to be meaningful. Paul had that opportunity with Timothy in the form of this letter, 2 Timothy, and we trust in Timothy's final visit to Paul. Paul asks Timothy to visit him in Rome, where he, Paul, is in prison and facing a martyr's death. He says to Timothy at the end of this letter, come to me soon. Come before winter. A final face-to-face visit is a precious thing. And final words on paper are chosen with great care. In 2 Timothy, Paul is encouraging Timothy in his faith and in his ministry. Paul is impressing upon Timothy the infinite importance of the gospel, and Paul is exhorting Timothy to be bold and courageous in the face of persecution. Timothy knows Paul very well, and there is no question in Timothy's mind that Paul's life is all about faith in Christ and ministry for Christ and the gospel of Christ and suffering for Christ. In this letter, 2 Timothy, Paul is challenging Timothy in ways that inspire Timothy. I've already said that a few times in our journey through 2 Timothy, and I think it makes perfect sense. Challenge and inspiration go together. The challenge to Timothy is do what God has for you to do. The inspiration for Timothy is what God has for you to do is the greatest work in the world. Lead people to Christ, then lead them in the ways of Christ.
The challenge,
and in big and little ways, this is what God also has for you and I to do. Now, to remind us of some of the challenges that inspire, here is what we saw last time in 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 7. Paul said, be strengthened by the grace that is in Jesus Christ. He said, what you have heard from me, entrust to faithful men who will teach others. He said, share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said, a soldier has one supreme aim, to please his commander. An athlete must compete according to the rules. And a farmer gets to enjoy the fruit of his labor. And when we looked at that last time, the soldier and the athlete and the farmer illustrations just jump right out at us, and we realize that what Paul is talking about is a Christian's life and a Christian's ministry. It is a challenge and inspiration and encouragement.
when we looked at that last
So today,
time,
as we walk through 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 to 13,
right
tune your heart to the Word and to the Holy Spirit and listen
and
for challenge
ministry.
And inspiration
it
and encouragement for your own
and
life and ministry.
And encouragement.
Let's read the passage.
So
again,
today,
2 Timothy 2, verses 8 to 13. Paul says to Timothy,
tune your heart
remember
to
Jesus
the
Christ, risen
the
from the
Spirit.
Dead, the offspring of David,
and
as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with
ministry.
Chains as a criminal.
Let's read the passage.
But the word of God is not bound.
To 13.
Therefore, I endure everything for the sake
Remember
of the elect,
Jesus Christ,
that they also may obtain
the
salvation that
the
is in Christ Jesus
David,
with eternal glory.
For which I am
the saying is trustworthy, for
as a criminal,
if we have died with him, we will also live with him.
Is not bound.
If we endure,
Therefore,
we will also reign with
him.
For the sake if we
of
deny
the
him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless,
glory.
He remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself.
If we have died with him, we will also live
Let's go
with
through
him.
The passage bit
if we endure,
by bit. Verse
we will
8.
Also reign with him.
Remember Jesus Christ,
if we deny him,
risen from the dead,
he also
the
will
offspring
deny us.
Of David.
If we are
Now, right off, this is kind of
he remains
surprising.
Faithful,
Paul says to Timothy,
himself.
Remember Jesus Christ.
Let's go through the passage.
And we are tempted to say, Paul, I guarantee Timothy is not forgetting Jesus Christ. And we readers who strive to live and to minister for Jesus Christ would say that we're not forgetting him either.
Surprising.
But Paul is not only wise, he is also writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So God is saying this to us through Paul. So this reminder is not at all a foolish thing for any of us. Remember Jesus Christ. Now, the sad truth is that we who minister, whether occasionally or frequently, we are capable of only really paying attention to Jesus when we are ministering or getting ready to minister. But that is not the Christian life. The Christian life
is
living for Christ and trusting in Christ and walking with Christ continually. That is remembering Jesus Christ. That is the life that God will work in and that God will work through. And God sees our hearts. So he knows whether or not our faith in
Christ
and our fellowship with Christ is genuine. So that is one vital way that every Christian, certainly every Christian seeking to minister to others, must remember Jesus Christ, be centered on him, be focused on Jesus Christ in everything.
Our
you do.
Faith in Christ and, our fellowship
and here is
with
another
Christ
way
is
that we must remember
genuine.
Jesus.
So
in
2
Timothy, Paul is constantly coming back to the reality that we as believers will suffer for Christ.
Be centered on him.
Both
be
Jewish animosity
Christ
toward Christians and pagan Roman godlessness meant that Christians knew full well that the world around them was against them. So how fitting and how encouraging for Paul to tell Timothy, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the offspring of David. Remember Jesus Christ in his triumph. He has risen from the dead. And remember Jesus Christ in his status over humanity. He is the offspring of David. Jesus Christ risen from the dead means that he has conquered sin and death on our behalf. Jesus Christ, the offspring of David, means that he is the promised forever king. He is King of Kings. So when you are persecuted, remember Jesus Christ. Remember that Jesus is the triumphant, risen King of Kings. When you suffer for Christ, remember that he is with you. And remember that he is your strength.
So when you are,
and remember that he has ordained your suffering for his glory and for your everlasting joy.
Risen,
and maybe for the everlasting joy of your persecutors,
when you suffer
if they
Christ,
will be saved through your witness.
Remember
Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David.
He has ordained
everything in our passage today is about Jesus and his saving work.
And maybe for the everlasting,
and it is for our challenge and inspiration and encouragement. And Paul goes on now. Remember Jesus Christ, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. In Paul's day, the gospel seemed to either save people or anger people. And there's a lot of truth in that for us today, too. People are either saved by hearing the gospel or angered by being the gospel. And these days, it seems that many people are bored by hearing the gospel.
In Paul's day,
we know
the gospel
that the gospel Paul preached is the only gospel. It is the only gospel
that
saves.
For us today too.
Plenty of people declare their own home-cooked gospel, a gospel that tickles people's ears. The true gospel saves by first telling you why you need saving.
The gospel Paul preached,
your sin is an offense to a holy God, and you are under his wrath. You must be saved from God's wrath. And yes, we marvel at the fact that God himself paid the price to save us from his own wrath. But God's wrath upon sin, that offends people. The gospel offends, and then it saves. And we who are saved spend our lives rejoicing in being saved from the wrath that we know we so deserve. But there are false gospels out there that offend no one and which save no one.
And then it saves.
Be a loving person and you will be saved.
Who are saved spend our
do more good deeds than bad deeds and you will be
saved.
From the wrath be a basically good person
so
and you will be
deserved.
Saved. In
but
fact, everyone is basically good, so everyone will be saved.
And which save
nobody
no
gets
one.
Offended by those gospels,
be a loving person and
and
you
nobody
will be
gets saved by them. Either.
Do more good deeds than bad deeds, and
Paul
you will
told
be
people
saved.
The truth about sin and God and Christ and salvation,
be
and because he did, he is now in chains in Rome,
good, so
as he writes to Timothy. But
saved.
Then these triumphant words,
nobody
as Paul has just mentioned
gospels,
his chains,
and nobody
but
gets
the word of God
either.
Is not bound.
Paul
is in chains, but not God's word.
And
the word of God is not
he did, he is
bound.
In
I hear this and I think of a couple other great passages. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And Hebrews 4, 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Paul knows that despite the fact that he is bound with chains as a criminal, God's word will do its work. The Holy Spirit will use God's word to accomplish his purposes. We as believers want to be people who love God and who show that we love God, who speak of Christ and who speak the Bible, who quote the Bible. God will use his word. We are to be proclaimers of his word, often just one verse at a time with whoever we happen to be conversing with. The word of God is not bound. Share it. Pray as you share it. And ask the Holy Spirit to use you as you proclaim God's word.
His word.
And because the word of God is not bound, Paul is inspired now to describe his life mission with glorious words. It's verse 10. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory.
The word of God is not bound. Paul is,
if you are saved, you are grateful to God for your salvation, and you will be grateful to him forever. You are forgiven of your sins. You are redeemed from slavery to sin. You are reconciled to God. You are adopted by God into his family. You are set apart for God's purposes. You are justified. You are declared. Justification means you are declared righteous in your legal standing before God because you are clothed in Christ's righteousness. You are being sanctified, made more and more like Christ. You are a new creature in Christ. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And Paul, by using the word here, the word elect, Paul is saying that God set his saving love upon you in eternity past. And of all the questions raised by the biblical teaching called election, and the biggest question in our hearts and minds should be, why me? Father, why did you illuminate Christ to my heart so that I saw him and loved him? I was lost in a life of living for myself. Why did you bring this sinner to repentance? Why, when someone shared the gospel with me, did I believe? Jesus said, no one comes to him unless the Father draws them. Father, why did you draw me? If you are saved, all you know is that he did.
Why, when someone shared the gospel
he with set me, his love upon you miraculously, savingly,
said, no
before the foundation of the world. Paul spent his life casting the gospel far and wide, not knowing who would respond, but knowing that some would believe, some would be drawn by the Father to Christ, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory.
Paul spent his
when
life
you are burdened
the gospel
for someone who is without
wide,
Christ,
not knowing
you share Christ.
Respond,
and if God opens their heart, they will listen. And then you share the gospel
Christ,
with them, praying that God will open their heart to believe. You may be
glory.
The means to the miracle by which they obtain the salvation
Christ,
that is in Christ,
Christ
Jesus.
And if
remember, Paul said,
heart,
how are they to hear
listen,
without someone
and then you share the
preaching?
With them,
and maybe with Paul,
their heart
verse 10
believe.
Will become precious
you
to you as a description of your mission in life.
By which they
therefore, I endure
the
everything for the sake
Christ
of the elect, that
remember,
they also
said,
may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus
preaching.
With eternal glory.
With Paul.
Everything in this passage is about Jesus and his saving work. And now Paul calls the next words a saying. A saying that obviously had circulated among Christians in Paul's day. And Paul now gives this saying his Holy Spirit-inspired endorsement. He says this is a trustworthy, this is a true saying. And it's
and
verses 11 through 13.
The, next words,
the saying is trustworthy,
saying
for if we have died with him,
Christians
we will also
day,
live with him. If we endure,
saying,
we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us.
Saying.
If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself.
For if we have died with him,
if we have died with him, we will also live with him. This is the believer's union with Christ. When we were born, we were born in Adam. And from Adam we inherited sinfulness just as if we had been the ones who ate the forbidden fruit in the garden. But in salvation, God takes us out of Adam and places us into Christ. So now we inherit things from Christ. Christ
Adam.
Purchased all the benefits of salvation with his death. And now, in Christ, we inherit those benefits. Paul says it all in Romans 6, verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. In our passage again, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. Next, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Eternal security, does not mean that I can now live however I want to because I prayed a prayer. Those who are born again must endure in faith.
Next,
we must fight the fight of faith. Enduring in faith is not just
eternal
the super Christian life for a few.
Does not mean
enduring in faith is the only Christian life. All Christians must endure in faith. We must live a life of obedience and faith and repentance when we sin, and we do it all by God's grace. Just as God gets the credit for saving us, he also gets the credit for keeping us. Of course, some
make
a profession of faith, but it proves to not be the real thing. They drift back to a life of self-worship instead of God worship, and in so doing, they deny Christ. And that's the next thing in this trustworthy saying. If we deny him, he also will deny us. But sinning without repentance is denying Christ. Sinning without repentance says, Christ is not my Lord.
They deny Christ.
So Peter says to Christians, Peter in 2 Peter 1, make your calling and election sure. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. To sin without remorse is to deny Christ. A genuinely saved person, by God's grace, fights sin all of his or her life.
2 Corinthians 13.
And Paul continues in this same vein in verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Now, when it says when we are faithless, that's the same situation that we just saw in verse 12. If we deny him, if we are faithless, means the same as if we deny him. And we are told the result of denying Christ. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, here we are told, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. And the question is, to whom will he remain faithful? And the verse is clear. God remains faithful to himself. Paul says it, for he cannot deny himself. God is faithful to himself. God is faithful to his word. God is faithful to his promises. And he is faithful to his own character qualities, which we rightly call his perfections.
And the verse is clear.
And yet it remains true that if we deny him, he also will deny us. But the fact that he will remain faithful to himself is very good news for believers, because this means that the first two lines of this trustworthy saying, which are the two positive promises to Christians, will be most certainly fulfilled for our eternal good. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Both of those great promises are fulfilled in eternity. Eternity matters more than anything. Eternity is of infinite importance. Paul says of believers who endure, we will live with him, we will reign with him. In this life, by God's grace, we do everything we can possibly do for his glory with our sights set on eternal glory. Paul said, I endure everything for the eternal glory that awaits. Setting our sights on eternity is not a waste of time. People say, if you just think about heaven all the time, you're wasting your time down here. That's not true. Setting our sights on eternity is what drives us in how we spend our time down here. And we spend our time down here for his glory.
Is not a waste of time.
Setting our sights on eternity means setting our sights on Jesus Christ. The center of this passage is remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ by living every day focused on him and trusting in him. Remember Jesus Christ by sharing Christ with others, knowing that the Word of God is not bound. Remember Jesus Christ by enduring for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain salvation. Remember Jesus Christ, because if we have died with him, we will also live with him. Remember Jesus Christ, because if we endure, we will also reign with him. I'll call on the worship team.
That they may obtain salvation. Remember Jesus Christ.
We desire to remember Jesus Christ, and we know that we must. We want our every move to be in submission to Jesus and trusting in Jesus and representing Jesus. And whenever we are fearful in our trusting and obeying, help us to remember that Jesus is the risen, triumphant King of kings and Lord of lords, and he is with us. Father, our own personal limitations are nothing like Paul's chains, but our limitations make us afraid and keep us quiet when we should speak up for you. Impress upon our hearts the power of your inspired word. Your word is not bound. We want to tell others about Christ. Give us wisdom and give us power to do it often. Lord, keep us encouraged in knowing that if we died with Christ, we will also live with him. And keep us challenged in knowing that if we endure, we will also reign with him. Lord, continue with us as we fellowship together and as we have an indoor picnic together. Bless our fellowship, bless our food, and bless us with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen.